Talk about the ninth tonight, maybe. But the first thing, the reason that we have to take up our daily cross is because Jesus told us to do it. And Jesus said, only those that love me do what I say. Folk who are out there doing what they want, thinking, you know, they tell you they love the Lord, but they're just out there living in sin, they're lying. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandment. That's concrete. That's absolute. Now, I know there are many preachers that are after your money that'll come down and milk that down and make it sound just so sweet, like it really doesn't mean what it really says, so you'll just keep coming to their church and giving your money to them and all this blah, blah, blah. But I got news for you. It's concrete. It's absolute. If you're not doing what the Bible says, being obedient to the Word of God, you do not love the Lord. You're playing mind games. Can I just be real tonight? Can I just tell you what the Bible says? Amen. Don't throw rocks at me because I'm telling you the truth. I love you enough to tell you the truth. Hallelujah. There's a few people who are going to hear it, be humble, and hear it, and be glad they heard the truth, and God was able to reach out and bring them from a bunch of just crazy thoughts that God couldn't work in, and I'm so thankful tonight. That it might have taken me getting so low from losing my land and my house and my vehicles so God could bring me back to a place where I could say, Lord, I just want what's real. I just want what's true. And God began to teach me the truth, who is His Son and what His Son did for me. All the other flaked out things out there mean absolutely nothing. So if we're not doing what Jesus said, we don't really love Him even though we say we do. Amen. The second reason we took up our cross daily, we do it daily, is because only through the cross comes our initial salvation and daily salvation. If you're struggling with something tonight, whatever it is, whatever that thing is that's trying to hammer at you and keep you in bondage, your only deliverance is not going down to Lifeway and buying a book on 5 steps how to be delivered. You're going to get more messed up than you were when you began. There's only one God, one plan, and one deliverance for you, and that's what Jesus did at Calvary. If you're struggling with drugs, if you're struggling with a gossiping tongue, a lying tongue, it was crucified to the tree. Alcoholism, you name it, whatever the sin is, He crucified it to the tree and buried a dead man. And when you came up out of the grave, you were brand new. You don't have a generational curse upon your life. You're a brand new creation. All things are new. When God makes something new, it ain't got a spot on it. When God makes something new, when God is responsible for a new birth, it's a perfect birth. Hallelujah. No flaws in the second birth. We're all flawed in the first one. We some messed up individuals. And I ain't talking about just the way I look. I'm talking about who we are. We're messed up. But the new man in Christ hadn't got a flaw, hadn't got a spot. Glory to God. So without the cross daily, you won't ever find deliverance from what that is. That's trying to peck at you and drag you away from Christ. You won't be able to run a race. You won't be able to keep going. There is no endurance without a cross. Third reason we take up a daily cross is because we wrestle against principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't stand a chance against the devil and all his cohorts that are as real as God is. Did you hear me? The devil's as real as God is. And the Bible teaches that he comes to devour whoever is not resisting him in the faith. But the Bible says those that resist him in the faith that he flees from. The Bible teaches that the devil will run when he comes to attack you if he sees you're in the faith, and that means you're believing from the heart what Christ did at Calvary was enough for what I need today. The devil can't touch that. And he flees. That's what the Bible teaches. How many Bible believers we got in here? How many Bible believers we got online? I hear you shouting now, glory to God. Can you hear them shouting? All the way up in Indiana, all the way down there in Florida, Baton Rouge. Folks watching tonight, just shouting glory to God. I see you right now. The devil ain't got a chance. The devil can't win for losing, and we can't lose for winning. Hallelujah. Number four, without the cross, the enemy can devour the saint. We just talked about that. You ain't got a chance. I don't care how saved you think you are, and maybe you are on your way to heaven because you're truly born again, and I pray all of us are here tonight. It don't matter how saved, how long you've been saved. The devil, he might flee, but he's coming back. And when he comes back, all he's looking for is to see who's in the faith and who's not. In the faith spells faith in the cross. Don't matter that you're in church every week, reading three chapters every day, praying 3 hours a day. All that means nothing to the devil. Means absolutely nothing to him. Because the only thing that defeated him is what Jesus did at Calvary. Do you understand that the cross is the only thing that makes the devil admit he's defeated? His fleeing is proof he's admitted. When you flee the fight, you're admitting, I'm a loser. I'm defeated. Amen. Woo! Number five, without the cross, there is only spiritual blindness and darkness. John 8:12. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me, stop right there. What do you got to have to follow Jesus? Faith in his cross, which is equal to you taking up your cross. So, he that follows me shall not walk in darkness. Darkness is equivalent to ignorance. Amen. That's what the Bible means when it talks about darkness. Don't mean nighttime. It means if you're following Jesus, you shall not walk in ignorance. You're going to know. You're going to see. You're going to hear. You're going to understand when they say bad things about you, what is really going on there, and that prevents you from having to get off in that sinking boat with them. Because you have eyes to see. You're not ignorant to what's going on. They are. But you're not, because you see what they don't see. See, Jesus carried his cross all the way up the hill. Jesus was here to die for us. He had eyes to see. That's why on his cross, he could say, Father, forgive them. He had eyes to see what was going on. You've got the same eyes, that you've got the same faith. It's his faith that you've been distributed, that you've been given. The faith of the Son of God that loved you and gave himself for you. What he sees, you see. That's why you don't have to get involved in all the arguments and you don't have to have the last word. You don't have to be somebody. You're not running for election. You've already been elected in by grace. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I was reading this scripture. This has really been one of the highlights, this number five. Without the cross, there's only spiritual blindness and darkness for me in this message. Because if we're following Christ, that means we're taking up our cross. Our faith is exclusively in what he did for us at Calvary alone. And we have light. We have light to see. Then the Word of God really becomes a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I know you know this, but I need to say it again. The Bible teaches in Revelations that it says this, the Lamb is the light. The Lamb, it's talking about the new city that has no need for the sun or the moon because the Lamb is the light. But I got news for you. Even before we get to the new city where there's no need for the sun and the moon, the Lamb is still the light right now. Now, you see how that flows with, if you take up your cross and follow Jesus, you'll not walk in ignorance. You'll not walk in darkness because you have the light. Amen. Amen. Taking up your cross speaks of faith in what the Lamb of God did for you at Calvary. Hallelujah. Can I shout myself happy tonight? Number six, without the cross, there's no partaking of the Lord. Jesus said in John chapter 6, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. He's not talking about eating his elbow and his kneecap. He's talking about what he would do at Calvary, and by faith we eat, by faith we drink. Only by that do we eat and drink. Amen. And he was speaking. That's why on that day, and he said that, he had just performed miracles and fed thousands, and they were coming out of everywhere to follow him to see the miracles and to eat. But when he stood that day and made that statement about, if you don't eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you, all but the 12 went home. Because he began to minister about what he would do as the Lamb of God. Everybody went home. That's why it's not popular today, preaching what we preach, believing the Bible in the context in which it was really written. When we start pointing to the cross, people start hitting the road. You know, if it's not a handout, if it's not what can you give me, if it's about what Jesus did at Calvary and you have to die with him, I don't want no part of that. We'll never have the biggest crowds. Don't ever look for the biggest crowds, but we'll have the biggest crowds in God's eyes. Hallelujah. So, unless we're taking up our cross daily, we're not even in fellowship with the Lord. That's what number 7 is about. Without the cross, we have no fellowship with Christ. You know, the book of Revelations talks about Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man would open, I will come in and sup with him and him with me. Well, what's at the door is the sacrifice. It's not a little Jew man, a little brown-headed, brown-eyed man wanting in just to talk for a while. It's the sacrifice that's at the door. And they won't let him in. You know why? Because they've got their own Jesus in their stuff. They've got their own Jesus. Paul said there'd be folks come along, preach another Jesus by another spirit in those words. It's easy. It's always been there. It's not new. They're in there. They've got their own thing going on. And the reason Jesus is on the outside wanting back in is because they're denying the cross. They will not put their faith in the cross. If their faith is in the cross, he's not outside knocking to get in. He's in fellowship with them. It's a miracle you're fellowshipping with the Lord tonight, not just thinking that you are. You're not just thinking that you are. See, there are millions tonight who are guilty of what Jesus said, and he said this, that if the light that's in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Millions think they're following Jesus, think they're in fellowship with Jesus because they have buns on their head. They never cut their hair. They don't wear makeup. They only wear this kind of dress, and they don't wear that. They don't have this. They don't go there. All about what they're doing or not doing, and their faith is not in what Jesus did at Calvary. It's about what they're doing. They're not following my Jesus. There is no fellowship just because I say I have fellowship. There is fellowship if my faith is in what my fellowship began in. Amen. Bible says we were called unto the fellowship of the Son of God, Jesus Christ our Lord, in 1 Corinthians 1:9. And Philippians 1:5 says our fellowship is in the gospel. See, our fellowship is only in the gospel. And the gospel is not what preachers are preaching it today. The gospel means good news, and the good news is that God was in Christ on the cross reconciling sinners unto himself. That's the good news. Hallelujah. And then the 8th reason we have to take up our cross daily is because without the cross, there's no access to God's grace. And this is when been one of the most profound things that I've ever ministered in my 10 years of preaching this message is what we've ministered this year about God's grace, and it's still coming into my heart strong every day. This afternoon, the Lord told me grace is a person. Grace is a person. Grace is not a poof. God just poofed you with something called grace. He mystically and magically imparted something to you. No. The Spirit of grace is the Spirit of truth, who is the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of life, the Spirit of grace. Jesus not only came bringing grace and truth, he is our grace and truth. And when our faith is in what he did by the grace of God, which was taste death, Hebrews 2:9, then we get the grace of God that he died to give us. The cross is the imparting place, the only imparting place for God's grace. Jesus, by the grace of God, tasted death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. And only from the cross does God distribute grace. Grace demands a cross, or there's no grace. Most of all the church today, and I mean that 99.999999% cannot tell you anything about grace except they were saved by it. And you know what? They don't really have to explain it to be saved. But God is teaching His people greater things so we can have a greater understanding and a greater appreciation and estimation and love for Him like we've never had before. You see, our love for Him can grow. His for us is maxed out already. It has no need to grow. It's bigger than we can imagine right now, His love. But ours can grow. Ours can just be greater for Him each and every day. That's why He teaches us not to just equip us to go out and win the lost, but so we can recognize and give Him the proper estimated value of His worth. Hallelujah. This God that we serve, man, He's bigger than what we know. He's bigger than everything that we're about. There's no grace without a cross. So unless I'm taking up my cross daily, there's no grace daily, because grace is not something that God just blankets. You know, people say, well, they were under the age of law and now we're under the we're in the grace age. It's not just a blanket out there. It's a message about a man that died on the cross for our salvation so we could be saved by that grace. Grace is not just a cover-up. Had people tell me, well, you know, I got a foul mouth, but God's grace just covers all that. No, God's grace delivers from the foul mouth. Because God's grace is God at work. God's grace is God at work. If my faith is right, God is working. Because my faith is in the truth. Grace is only found in the truth, Colossians 1:6. If you need a copy of this message, you can have it. It's free. If you want a copy of these notes, they're free. You can email me at curtishutchinson@att.net. I'll send them. People are already asking me for them. And you need them. You need to go back through this. You need to go back to March and say, I want that CD about you preaching God's grace is God at work. I need to hear that. I need to know that. I know all my life I thought just grace was just poof. It was something God just did. Yes, it is at the cross. And it's the only imparting place for grace. Without a cross, there's no grace. God only gives grace to the humble. Is that Bible? God gives more grace to the humble. Who are the humble? If it's the cross, our faith has to be in to get grace, then the humble are they who believe in the cross. The humble are not, hello, ma'am, how are you today? Let me get that door for you. Oh, you're just a humble fella. No, you're a nice boy, and there's lost people that act that way too. Humility is saying, I give up, and I'm looking to you. I'm done. I've tried it all. I've made a mess. I see you are revealing your truth your way, and I'm just going to have to believe it. I'm giving up. I'm through. I don't care what my mama taught me, what my daddy taught me. I don't care if my parents were Mormons, Jehovah's Witness. You're showing me the truth, and I want to be with you. And you get grace. You get God working in your life. And if God's working, the fruit of God is there. So number 9, where we are tonight, we'll begin our message. Without the cross, well, it's the holidays. Anybody working tomorrow on Christmas Eve? Y'all can leave early. Rest of us staying all night. I'm just kidding. Number 9, without the cross, we will grow weary, faint, and ultimately quit. Without the cross, you're going to grow weary. And you know what? I heard Brother Larson say it years ago. People are like an old car. When they start missing, they eventually gonna quit. I watch them. Boy, they'll come to church. They'll be fired up. They'll be on the front row. Glory to God. About 6 months later, they'll be about halfway back. About another 30, 40 days, they're on the back row. And then not long after that, they out the door. It's time to bow up. It's time just to bow up and say, I'm believing the truth. I don't care what everybody else around me saying, doing, thinking. I'm going on with Jesus. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Try to make it through this tonight. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Do you see what it brings your attention to when it talks about looking unto Jesus? There's only two places in Scripture that talk about looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 2, 9 talks about Jesus, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for death. Talks about him dying. So if we're looking at Jesus, we're not just sitting around with a candle burning with our favorite Christian song on, trying to meditate and picture Jesus in our mind. No, we don't have to have anything but a faith in what Jesus did. If your faith is in what Jesus did at Calvary, you're looking at him. Hallelujah. You're seeing what he provided for you there. Liberty and freedom, peace and joy, just like Brother Noble prophesied tonight and told us. It's all in the package of Calvary. It all comes through you taking up your cross daily by faith and following Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. What does the Bible here, right here, teach us is the answer when you begin to grow weary. And you're going to begin to grow weary. Can I get a witness? Am I the only one who's ever felt like I was getting weary? But you know what? I know I'm not. Every time I felt that way, I just begin to look unto Jesus and see the great price he paid because he loved me that much. He loved me. He died for, he knows me. He did not just die for the world, although he did for everybody. He died for everybody. But you know something? He knows Curtis. He specifically died for me and you. It is a, that's why it is a personal relationship. And if it ain't personal, it ain't yours yet. If it's just some blanket thing that covers all and God don't even know what I look like, you're deceived. God knows what you look like. He's the one, not your daddy. He's the one that put you inside your daddy before you made it in your mama. He's the one that formed you fearfully and wonderfully made you. He knows you. He gave you your looks, your gifts. He knows you and he died for you. I'm talking about it's more personal than you will ever know on this side of glory. He loves you. He saw all our mistakes and all our mistakes and all our errors and all our sin. And he said, I still love you. Your mistakes can't stop my love. I'm coming to get you. And he came and he died in spite of us. And he offered grace that's greater than anything we'll ever know. It's a love we can't fathom in our minds, but we have something to look at it, to see it. And it's his son and what he did at Calvary. The Bible says in Galatians 6, 9, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season if we shall reap if we faint not. And we already know the answer. People who quit, give up, they fall out of church, they just fall out. Let me tell you something, what's happening to them? They've laid the cross down and gone their own way again. Even if there were, oh yes, I still believe in the cross, I still, my faith's in the cross, they're lying to themselves. Jesus said, With your lips, you worship me. You draw to me with your lips, is what he said. You draw to me with your lips, but your heart is far away. And it's only with the heart that we believe. It's only the heart that God looks at. God does not look at what you're wearing tonight. He does not see that you're in sandals or a t-shirt or a jacket. He sees your heart. That's all God looks at. When the Bible says God looks upon the heart, that doesn't mean every once in a while he takes a peek at it. That's all God looks at. That's all he sees. He knows what we're thinking, why we're thinking it. That's why I live under conviction. Have you ever caught yourself trying to fake God out? Honest man will say, yes, I have. I was dumb. You can't fake him out. He knows what you're thinking. He knows why you're thinking it before it's even revealed to you why you're thinking it. We do it because we're not so bright. It's not that we're dumb or stupid. It's that we just don't know how big God is, how awesome he is. You know, I've spent 10 minutes before trying to think of a man's last name so I could pray for him and God would hear me and know who it was. God already knows who it is. I'll get it here in a minute. God, you know Jim, Jim. He knows Jim. He don't need me telling him Jim's last name. He sees who I'm thinking about, who I'm praying for. Thank God that I don't have to get it just right for him to function in my life. We're talking about a massive, huge, enormous, fabulous, magnificent, gracious, loving, merciful, holy, just, righteous God. And you could just go on forever. That's what I meant by being here all night. When you're preaching him, there ain't no end to it. We just take breaks. There's no end to his goodness. There's no end to what he wants to do in our lives. Proverbs 24:10, I'm trying to hurry. We got 10 minutes. Proverbs 24:10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. That means your faith is in something other than what it should be in. Because there's no such thing as small strength when your faith is in the cross. It's in our weakness, his strength is made perfect. You can't beat perfect strength. And only he can show up and be your perfect strength. Did you get that? His strength is made perfect. It's not something huge. It's perfect strength. That means it cannot fail. That means there's nothing stronger than his strength. I hear a train. And a motor scooter. It's all coming in that door right there. The train's back there, but the sound's coming in that door. We're going to have to fix that. I want to share one last thing with you. I'll turn to the book of Isaiah. I'm closing tonight as we're talking about this last point about growing weak and fainting. The church has grown weak and it's fainted. Oh, it's keeping on going in the routines and its habitual manifested meetings and gatherings and events and programs and all that. It's still walking, but it ain't walking with the Lord. Not walking with the Lord. We were a church here 5 years before they finally stopped calling my boys saying, why don't y'all come over to our youth? I'm like, what they calling my boys for? We got a church. But they don't look at you as a church because your parking lot's not as full as theirs. Your preacher's not got a PhD, they thought, till I told them I did. I got a public high school diploma. That kind of embarrassed them there. Isaiah chapter 40. What this chapter is about, and we're going to walk through it a little bit tonight. But this chapter, we're not really going to walk through it. We're just going to talk about it for a minute. Isaiah chapter 40 is concerning the nations that do not serve God. Israel backsliding away from God to be like those nations that aren't serving God. and God attempting to bring his wayward, deceived, and confused people back to a place of trusting him. That's what Isaiah 40 is about. Read it when you get home. But the end of Isaiah 40 is popular scriptures that you've seen on t-shirts, plaques on the wall, big boards and places. But we're going to see it tonight in the way we should see it. In Isaiah 40 and 28, God says through the prophet Isaiah, "Have you not known, have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, neither is weary." Our God don't need a nap. Our God never gets tired. He never gets weary. "There is no searching of his understanding." Are you ready? Here it comes, verse 29. "He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength." Now, to those who think they're mighty, he can't do anything. But to us who know we're weak, he gives us might. I'm reading it in the Bible. "To them that have no might, he increases strength." I need God to increase my strength. It only comes through the cross. We'll see it in just a minute. "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait," that means to bind together by twisting. You look it up when you get home tonight. I encourage you to do so. Always check out what I say. The word "wait" means bind together by twisting. You become one with him. You trust him to the degree of serving him. You are waiting on him. You are expecting him to do something. And you can with the cross. You can with the cross. Amen. The cross, look, the cross that Jesus died on looked like God had turned away and walked away and wasn't even there. But the Bible says God was in Christ reconciling sinners to himself. It looked like the total opposite of what it really was. So when you're having a hard day, you're having the worst day you've ever had, if you're taking up your cross and following Jesus, things are not the way they really appear. Yes, there may be agony. Yes, there may be mourning. There may be loss. There may be hardship. But I'm telling you, the grace of God is greater than all of that. The cross looked like it was the defeat of Jesus, but it was him defeating all principalities and powers. It was him stripping the devil of the power of death. It was him justifying all who would believe and him giving all strength who would believe in him. That's what the message of the cross is about. What Jesus did at Calvary and how the Word of God points to him. All of the Word of God points to Jesus. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." There it is, renew their strength. I need renewed strength. Tomorrow I'll need my strength to be renewed again. That means it becomes new again today. We want to quote verses like, "God's mercies are tender and new every morning." Not without a cross they ain't, honey. Without a cross, folk are just quoting that. And their faith is in what they're quoting, in them just saying that. And there is, God does not move even by us quoting Scripture. Why? Because that's you doing something. God moves by us believing Scripture as it is related to the one who said, "I am the truth." See, it's not your truth if it's not in relationship in the context of the man who said, "I am the truth." So just because we say the Word of God's a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, there's no power in saying that. God doesn't move because we say that. Amen. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of eagles, as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." This all points to Calvary. Eagle. When the Bible talks about eagle's wings, it's talking about Calvary. What God did there to raise you up out of the miry clay and make a new creation out of you. Because I want to show you this. In Exodus 19:3-4, if you can put that on the screen, I want us to see this, a confirmation of what I'm trying to get this point across, that God strengthened his people, people to the point where there wasn't one feeble one among them when he brought them out of Egypt. He related that to bringing them out on eagle's wings. And how did they come out? By the blood. So God brought us out on eagle's wings when he brought us out by what his son did at Calvary. Look at this. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. In verse 4, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians. So he tells us what he's talking about, what happened in Egypt, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. How did he do that? By the blood. God brought you to himself. We were made nigh by the blood. Hallelujah. We were lifted up on eagle's wings and brought unto God. Now that's that scripture in context as it relates to Jesus and what he did at Calvary, shedding his precious blood for us. And if our faith is in that, there'll be no weariness. It'll come and it'll knock on the window and it'll beg to get in. And sometimes we're foolish enough to crack the window and let weariness come in. But we're smart enough now to see that all I got to do is look to Calvary. And weariness goes out and it's swapped for strength. You might wake up weary, but you're going to walk all day in strength if you'll look to Jesus and what he did at Calvary. It cannot fail. It cannot fail. If it feels like it ain't working, it is working. And I don't like saying it because it's a him. If it feels like God ain't there, listen, we don't live by feelings. We don't live by sight. We live by faith in what Christ did for us at Calvary. And I'm telling you, if that's what our faith remains in, God's going to keep working and walking in us and building us and using us and blessing us. He can't get away from it. He's already promised that with his son, you get it all. If God spared not his only son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him? You got to be with him freely, give us all things. Question is tonight, what is it you need? What is it you need tonight? What is it that's hindering you? What is it that's keeping you from running this race? What is it that's pecking at you? Don't let it be your past because it's gone. We serve a God who shows up and said, don't look back at nothing except what I did for you at Calvary. That's all I'm looking back at. I'll never tell you that you can't do this or that for me because of anything in your past. I'm only looking to see if your faith is in my son. And if it is, that's what I'm determining what I'm going to do for you based on. You see, folk like us, this woman had some. She come walking by at work yesterday, had something jangling. It was some earrings she got from somebody. She said, let me pin these on you. I said, yeah, I got three holes right here, but they don't wear no earrings no more. You see, folk told me I couldn't never be a preacher, but every one of them that said that was looking back at my past and mistakes and sin in my life. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. Only the devil does that. Even if it's through the sweetest people that love you the most, it's the devil. Because God will never say, you can't serve me in this capacity because of that back there that you did. Religious men will tell you that. Oh, you can't be a deacon in our church. You know, you did this or you did that. You know, that's not God. That's why I know that those denominations are not of God. Amen. God's breaking them down too right now. He's shutting them down. He's plucking people out of there left and right. They're growing weary and weak and they're giving up. But thank God there's somebody somewhere telling them where the strength can come from. There is strength. There is hope. Without a cross, you'll quit. But you got to be willing to know what that cross is about. And it wasn't about you being somebody in this world. It was about you decreasing and pulling up away from everything in this world so that Jesus could increase in your life. Y'all done made me preach myself plumb happy. The Lord is faithful. He is mighty. Your family may disown you when you get hooked up with Jesus. They will. Some of them will. But I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nobody worth Jesus. There ain't nobody. There ain't spouse, mama, daddy. There ain't your kids. They special, but they not more special than what you got with Jesus. And when you start making them more special, you're going to pay a heavy price. Heavy price you don't want to have to pay. Take up your cross today. Come back to Calvary. No matter who'll come with you, it ain't about you getting a group to go with you. It's about you just coming to Jesus. Just laying it down. I'm done. I'm through. I'm just going to believe Jesus, and what he did at Calvary is all I need. That's it. I may not understand everything, and none of us do, but I'm following him. When the multitude left Jesus, Jesus said, "You boys leaving too?" Peter said, "Where are we going to go? You got the words of life. I'm following the one that's got the words of life. I'm following the one that laid his life down for me. It ain't a church thing. It's a Jesus thing." Hallelujah. Stand with me tonight. Glory to God. My Lord is faithful. My Lord has promised good to us. Hallelujah. Thank you for your presence, God, tonight. Thank you for your anointing to minister. Thank you for your anointing to hear and to rightly divide the scripture in our hearts, even as you're ministering to us in this place, oh God. We praise your holy name tonight, God. We thank you for the truth that you've imparted into our hearts tonight, God. And we receive it with gladness and joy. Yet tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, there will only be opportunities to see if we really believe what we say we believe with our mouths. If we really believe in our hearts what we say with our mouths we believe. Oh God, help us to see clearly how much you love us and what you really did at Calvary. That it's not about us sitting around imagining how bloody you were, but what you actually were accomplishing there on that old tree. For all that will believe, new life is guaranteed. Not only everlasting, but abundant. Not beginning when we die and come to be with you, but right now. It begins now. Renewed strength every day. Renewed mercy every day. Abounding grace. Every person in this room, Father, has got an issue, has got something in their life that would, if it could, dominate us. Some may even have something dominating them. But tonight, you've told them the answer. Because your word says, under grace, sin shall not have dominion. That, we understand, is when we're allowing you to work in our lives by the truth our faith is in, the truth of who you are and what you did at Calvary. Sin cannot dominate our lives. The past horrors, the uncleanness, the unclean acts in the past mean absolutely nothing because your blood cleanses whiter than snow. We might have been a harlot, and the world may see us as that, but you see us as a chaste virgin. May we see ourselves as you do, new creations in Christ Jesus, your Son. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you need prayer tonight, I want you to come right now to this altar. If you need to get right with God,